it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're now pleased to be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who survived a radio hit with us last week, myself and Joe Rexroad, and has graciously agreed to come back on. Charles, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Just trying to prepare for Big Monday. Monday's going to be a bloodbath. This is going to be crazy.
It is going to be crazy, and with all the CBA negotiations going on, free agency opening up, the legal tampering period, going to be interesting to monitor that. And, Charles, we've been talking about an impending free agent for the Titans with his contract expiring, Derrick Henry. We know the situation with running backs around the league now. They're valued much differently now than they used to be in terms of their long-term value to an organization. What would your comfort level be of giving Derrick Henry a long-term contract if you're the Titans, given how important he is to the offensive identity of this team?
You know, I mean, it all comes down to, I think, the number. No position is talked about more probably in the last 2 to 3 years in terms of the numbers doled out at the upper end and how all those contracts have become really an albatross. I mean, the Rams right now, the Todd Gurley deal is widely considered, I think, and it has been for probably over a year now, the worst contract in the NFL. You know, there's talk that I think the Rams would potentially be willing to unload Todd Gurley and even pay some of his salary if there was a team that was willing to take him on at this point. Now, that's, you know, okay, his knee's not right, you know, maybe that plays into it, but, you know, I you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they pay Ezekiel Elliott top shelf money. I think they're already sitting there and looking how that fits into the long-term cap situation and wondering, you know, are we going to get the juice for the squeeze for the amount of money we're paying Ezekiel Elliott? You have Devontae Freeman's deal in Atlanta, which hasn't been really great for them since they re-upped him. David Johnson, another top-end deal in Arizona. And you know, it's just all these running backs who eclipse the, you know, $10, $11, $12 million mark and beyond tend to turn into a negative for franchises because of how running backs are used. And, you know, Derrick Henry's the outlier. He's the centerpiece back that, you know, I think drove a large portion of the Titans offense. But again, I still think this comes down to, do you sign someone and assume longevity beyond 2 to 3 years? And what are you willing to pay for that? And, you know, there are other factors, the cap, where the cap's going to end up going if a 17th game is added, if the CBA gets done, which I believe it's going to, you know, those all change things. And the fact that, if you bring back Ryan Tannehill, I don't imagine it's going to be at a level where he's inside the top five quarterback money. And that can also affect whether or not or where you want to pay Derrick Henry. So it's a complicated answer, but I would say that if there's any team that is maybe a little more motivated to put Derrick Henry near the top of that running back scale and use him, and get the money out of it, it's probably the Titans.
So you mentioned Tannehill, Charles, not being in the top five. So you think that they could get a, you know, a long-term deal? Obviously, if you're tagged, you're the average of the top five. You think they can get a long-term deal done with him at, I guess, a bargain rate? I mean, what, you know, bargain rate for quarterbacks, still a lot of money, but what do you think's realistic there?
Well, I remember I'm also factoring in some of the deals that are going to get done this offseason. You know, at some point, Pat Mahomes is going to get done, and that's going to change what that plateau is for quarterbacks. And you know, Deshaun Watson's another guy where the Texans are going to start those talks this offseason. And now all these quarterbacks are pushing for deals after 3 years because of what, you know, Carson Wentz did and Jared Goff did. Everybody wants to redo their deals and tack something on after the third year. We'll see what quarterback deals get done this year. But I would say that, look, the quarterback market is going to change. You know, Dak Prescott, what he's going to get. So you're sitting there and you're saying, well, what's a bargain deal? I mean, if you could get Marcus Mariota. If you can get Ryan Tannehill at, you know, $30 million a year, that's a bargain rate for a quarterback right now. Or it's going to be a bargain rate when we get into what the next, you know, sort of wave is, particularly if, you know, Tom Brady ends up departing New England. You know, Tom Brady is going to all of a sudden factor in for a year or two in that above $30 million number. So there's going to be a stretch between $30 and $40 million for quarterbacks by the time the next wave gets done. And when I say the next wave, I mean this offseason, next offseason. So if you can get a quarterback in, anywhere near the $30 million mark, even a little over it, you're going to feel pretty good if you're getting the production out of that quarterback, because there's going to be a spike that's coming with a handful of deals over the next two off seasons.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us. And Charles, there have been reports earlier this week about NFL players voting on the proposed CBA that they've tried to go back and change their vote. And Joe and I were talking about this yesterday, like, why do we think that's the case, that they're going back to change the vote? Is it simply that they changed their mind? Were they uninformed about the vote to begin with? And if so, why are they voting in the first place if they don't know what they're voting on? Just what did you make of those reports of NFL players trying to go back and try to change their vote?
Well, this all depends on who you believe. I mean, that's why, you know, I pegged it. I said, I think on Monday, I said, look, there are 1,000 ballots in, and this would be a mess if they decided to reboot, you know, now and basically open the door for 1,000 people to change their vote. You're essentially starting from scratch. And, you know, you have one side of people that I'm talking to who are saying, you know, there are a number of agents that are worried that a bunch of guys rushed out with no votes before still fully absorbing, you know, some of the facts that came out. And I think one of the things that maybe changed the minds, I talked to a few players, and what I thought was interesting, they said that the CBA, the union put out a comparison sheet of the last CBA and sort of the bullet points of, you know, here's what the numbers look like, and then this current CBA. Here's the bullet points of what the numbers look like, just to sort of give them an even comparison of this is why we think this is a better deal, and we're just going to give you the flat numbers so you can understand it. And I talked to a couple of players that said, you know what, once I saw that sheet, I felt a little different. You know, they might have been no leans. And when they saw that sheet, they felt like, you know, this actually is a better deal than the previous one. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a good deal, but they felt good that it was a better deal. And, you know, so there's one side that's saying some of these guys saw the sheet and had voted no and suddenly, you know, wanted to backtrack and maybe change you know, change their vote. But then there's a flip side of this where, and I think this is a smaller group that says that, no, there were guys who initially came out and were just looking at that bounce in minimum salary, the fact that they get to the pension a year earlier, 3 years instead of four, and you know, did not look at the broader issue of whether or not, hey, were we lied to? Did we know everything? Was there full transparency? And out of the gate, instantaneously voted yes and now wanted to know more about what the negotiation looked like and maybe withdraw that yes vote. Again, who are you listening to? Everybody's got their story in this whole thing. And I think what, to me, my bellwether on whether or not this is something that's going to get passed is I tend to look at some of the teams and whether or not they have optimism. So, for example, the Dallas Cowboys are sitting there. They have to tag Dak Prescott. So they're sitting there and they're saying, well, we're going to have to transition tag Amari Cooper if that's available. That's only available if the CBA fails. I can tell you right now, Dallas is absolutely putting the full court press on getting an Amari Cooper deal done in the next few days. And to me, that leads me to believe that Jerry Jones who should know a heck of a lot about where this is headed, thinks that the CBA is going to pass.
Yeah, which, yeah, as you said, that means you can't, yeah, both are off the table.
Right, you only get one tag.
Right.
You can't use the franchise and transition if the CBA passes.
You mentioned the pension. That's a big, big deal. For people who don't know, yeah. I mean, these guys, I mean, a lot of this is, can you get to the pension? For so many guys in this league, you know, you get to the pension and you've got income for the rest of your life for playing the NFL. And there's obviously a big difference between that and not getting it. So that's a big deal. Like you said, the money coming up. I mean, it reads to me, Charles, like the top guys in the league don't like the deal. And you hear a lot of discontent about it out there. But it has been constructed to appeal to the masses. And that's a pretty shrewd construction of a CBA proposal.
It is. And, you know, you have – when you talk to people historically about deals, a lot of them are – you know, CBA deals in the past have been star deals, really good for the stars. I thought it was interesting that Sam Acho, one player, you know, came out and said, you know, look, this is not good for, like, 100 guys in the league. Like, he flat out just said there's probably 100 guys, not a great deal for us. The rest of us, it's great. 1,800 guys versus 100 guys – he said, you know, basically said, look, in my mind, that's a pretty easy yes. Like, if this is a broad deal, it's good for, you know, the vast majority, you know, 90% of the league. We should be voting for this. And you, again, the pension, what was really interesting to me, I called an agent earlier this week after he had a chance to absorb the 400-plus pages of the CBA, arguably one of the greatest agents in the history of the NFL, a guy who's negotiated, you know, more, I mean, we're talking about contract figures in the billions over the course of his career, all, you know, all star guys. I said, what do you think of this deal? And it was really interesting. He said to me, he goes, you know what? It actually is a really good deal for a lot of guys. And I was taken aback because I'm like, he's a star guy. I thought he would pan it. And I've heard a lot of agents with star guys, you know, will pan it. And he said, the one thing to me that is striking and why this will probably end up passing, he said, you have – everybody talks about the minimum salary jumping $100,000, but he, as you talked about, and I mentioned the pension, he said, now you have guys who are sitting there going, I can get to an NFL pension now after 3 years. And he says, so you have a lot of guys at the bottom rungs of rosters who are going, if I can last 3 years, that's $300,000 of extra cash in my pocket via the $100,000 bump in minimum salaries. And, oh, by the way, after my third accrued year, I'm in the NFL pension. Now I have, you know, some longevity in terms of finance coming out of this league, and that's a huge deal. That's a really, really big deal. And even he admitted, you know, hey, how can I argue against that? He's like, so many guys can benefit from that over the long term of their lives, not just, you know, the short term of their careers. So to hear a heavy hitting agent kind of say that and shrug and just go, yeah, I can kind of see why they constructed it this way, told me a lot.
Okay, real fast. Every time we have you on, until we know, I guess this is probably the last time. Where's Tom Brady going to be next year?
I would say I think it's narrowed, honestly, to either the Chargers and I think Tampa Bay is sort of. The one thing, man, I'll tell you, I don't know, man. San Francisco's making me nervous. Just making me nervous because they've had opportunities to come out and just completely knock down the Tom Brady stuff, and the fact that they haven't done it always makes me. It makes me squirm when teams of that caliber that have constructed a Super Bowl window just will not say no.
Mm.
I'll say this, though. Kyle Shanahan is that guy. He loves to keep – he did this – I mean, they literally dealt for Jimmy Garoppolo in like a year later or going into the Kirk Cousins free agency. He was still a guy that was talking to people close to him about Kirk Cousins. I'm like, why is he doing that? Like, because he wants to keep Jimmy Garoppolo uncomfortable. He's like, it's just how he is. He wants to be a guy who motivates his quarterback constantly, never makes him feel safe. So maybe that plays into this, but I feel like I am less confident that the Titans would be in that mix. I really truly believe that, you know, this is Chargers, you know, Buccaneers on sort of the outside, maybe the 49ers. And if only Tom and Bill Belichick could talk to each other and not be passive aggressive, maybe he will get back to New England. But that is I ended up writing about that. He's like two guys whose love language is passive aggression. Not working.
Charles, what do we think? Why do we think the Buccaneers have kind of crept into this mix?
Well, the Buccaneers have been interested from the start. I just think the Buccaneers are that one franchise that, with Bruce Arians, that are very willing to go all in terms of, like, anything Tom needs, whatever he wants, whatever changes they got to make. And they'll listen to his every whim when it comes to, you know, oh, you want us to sign some guys? You want us to consider some free agents? Look, Tom's a big fan of Antonio Brown, okay? Like, he has made no bones about that. Through all thick and thin, the craziness of Antonio Brown, Tom has continued to be an admirer on social media of Antonio Brown. He's very clear about it. I could see Tom ending up in Tampa Bay and telling Arians, let's go get Antonio Brown. Let's figure it out. And Arians being like, all right, that's what it's going to take.
Mike Evans and so, AB. Woo!
Dude, it would be crazy. I just think that's one of those things that keeps Tampa Bay on the radar. Just remember, look, when this pitching, you know, however this process is going to go for Brady, if he gets to that point where there could be, you know, these teams coming to him and pitching, all bets are off. You just never know. You never know what's going to be thrown at him that's going to make him go, yeah, you know what? All right, let's do this. Let's roll.
Going to be really interesting to monitor. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Charles, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hang in there, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
When we come back, we'll dive into a little bit more of what he had to say there about Brady potentially going to the Buccaneers. Did we buy that? We'll talk about that next. ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday as Nashville SC are on the road to take on Toronto FC. Pregame begins at 2:45 with kickoff at 3 p.m. only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. We'll be right back on Morning Drive.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.